is all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly?
Aloha! I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection. Mahalo to all the listeners of BBSRadio.com. Our call-in phone numbers are toll-free 877-270-8714 or 530-876-9026 or 876-3223 or 413-4515. Welcome to the Universal Spiritual Connection. It is always a true honor to connect with each and every one of you, and it is so delightful for me, so I'm really thrilled to be here. We have a show tonight that is going to be extremely powerful for each and every one of you. So the first half of my show, we are having Kathy that does Destiny Matches. And on our second half of our show this evening, we will be featuring Salar from Hawaii. So this is going to be real exciting. She does the 11-11 activation. So all of you will definitely want to stay tuned this evening. With your permission, please allow me to give you some wonderful background on our first guest for this evening. And her name is Kathy, and she has studied the science of the unknown for over 25 years, mostly Middle Eastern philosophies and quantum mechanics, which she blends with Edgar Cayce reading. She has taught classes in numerology, multidimensional travel, and regression. The last 10 years, she has been instrumental in organizing and gathering many groups. And I will have to say, and we're talking about many gatherings for very large groups here, right here in the state of Arizona. And she's very good at what she does. With her knowledge, she brings awareness to couples and individuals what their soul's purpose is and how they interrelate to each other. Now, Destiny Matches brings depth and understanding not only to your personal relationships, but along with your family, friends, lovers, co-workers, and what is going on. And this is the key, so I want you to all remember this, because this is the key to unlocking these secrets. Is she will give you details for you to focus on behind the scenes and in your relationships. There are certain predictable patterns of behavior that tells us about any relationships. These patterns can be found in the Destiny Matches. Discover how many connections you and your partner have, whether the pitfalls are, and how to come out of them with grace and understanding. We will tonight explore one's soul purpose and how to transform difficulties into blessings. In addition, you will be given your Jupiter good luck sign and the ways that can bring success to your goals. Now, Destiny Matches is a system that is based on astrology and numerology. So when we talk about the connections, we are meaning the astro and the numeral. By your birthday, we can see who you are and what you relate to, what the connections with the planets, personality card, factors are. For instance, the Mars connection is a hot and heavy at first, then can lead into friction later. Then there is the Saturn connection. It can be a difficult to deal with. If you find that you are attracted to those challenging relationships, you have to assume that there is something for you to learn. What we are attracted to is exactly what we need to learn about ourselves. Our attractions may not make any sense from a practical point of view, but they are accurate reflections of our own process of self-understanding. We will attract the same person that reflects how compatible we are with ourselves. And I would like for you to think about what I just said, so let me read this once again. We will attract the same person that reflects how compatible we are with ourselves. The sun-moon connection is the strongest marriage connection that exists. This is where we have gotten love at first sight. They both like doing the same things and feel that they have known this person all their lives. Now, on that note, I want to let all the callers know this evening that Kathy will indeed be diving into those behind the scenes for all our listeners this evening. But when you call in, we're going to need your birth dates. So get them ready, okay? And let me give you those numbers once again. Our toll-free number is 877-270-8714. Same area code. The numbers are 876-9026, 876-3223, and 413-4515. So without further delay, please help me to welcome, with a warm welcome, to our guest, Kathy. Are you with us?
Hi, Leilani. It's wonderful to be here.
Oh, thank you. You know what was right going on in the back of my mind, don't you?
What?
I said, oh, I should have grounded myself before I got on the radio.
I was actually chuckling
with myself.
Well, this is just a fun thing for me to do. I just love doing it, and it's just a lot of fun, and I get a big kick out of it. So it's just really a lot of interesting things that come out of it when I see these charts, and it's just wonderful. The Cards of Destiny. The Cards of Destiny is an old mystical orders. It came from the Order of the Magi. And so it's a very old, ancient science of using astrology and numerology together. And it's just a wonderful way to find out what's going on, what will happen to you, when it will happen to you, and who it will happen with. We find out about trips, moves, and having children, and getting married, and meeting a new love, and making money, and all those things we discover in the Destiny cards. And that's why it's so much fun for me. And
if I may interject here for just a moment, if I may, one of the things that I would like to share with all the listeners this evening is that Kathy has indeed done a year chart for me. And I will have to say it's been extremely profound for me. And the reason why I feel this very strongly is it's uncanny on the accuracy of the energies. And what's so interesting is that Kathy unfolds for you for the entire year of the actual energies that you will be dealing with through a cycle of 52 days. That's correct, right, Kathy?
Yes, yes, it is 52 days. Uh-huh. And each cycle is under Mars, Venus, Mercury, Saturn, Jupiter, Uranus, and Pluto, and Neptune. All of those cycles, each one goes 52 days, and it's just amazing at how you can see during those cycles, you can see what's happening. And if you read it very carefully, during the time that you're having these cycles, you can see how this actually plays out in your life.
Absolutely, and I have found that to be true to form, just been working with my own chart. And another interesting point that I would like to point out to all the listeners this evening as well is, you know, as I began to work with my own chart, what I was finding is that I was actually able to see what I would be dealing with 3 months down the road, even hidden things that are, let's say, I like to use the word sometimes, the undercurrent that's going on that necessarily is not evident that's going on within that cycle until you get into that cycle. And then all of a sudden, as each day is unfolding, that undercurrent will literally start surfacing itself. And a lot of us, and if you will think in these terms as, you know, being blindsided or, oh my gosh, I didn't expect that to be coming my way, these charts actually show you those things that we necessarily find ourselves coming our way that's unexpected. Wouldn't you agree with that, Kathy? Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do, and I think it's forewarned, forearmed, and when we're forearmed, I think we can deal with it. We can use our emotions to deal with it a little bit differently than we normally would respond to the situation. I noticed that for myself and my chart, there are certain people that I'm dealing with, and they go out of my life, and then they come back into my life, and it shows in the chart the person going out of my life and coming back in my life. And then it shows how, in all those cycles, how I'm dealing with it, what I'm thinking about it, and how I'm dealing with it. And I notice that when I'm forewarned, I can start to deal with my emotions and deal with the situation a little bit. I can temper it by not being quite so dramatic or emotional or things like that. And it seems like it, knowing that it's just a 52-day cycle and it will pass, knowing that it's just a short period of time, you know, then you can deal with it a little easier, I think.
Absolutely, because, you know, once you understand the components of the energies that will be unfolding, especially with the dominant people within your own environment, you're able to approach your approach into a situation with a better understanding as you go into it, and so you find yourself acting out different reactions to the circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gives us an opportunity to be our best, you know. We always want to do our best, and this gives us a clue as to what's going on and that we can react in the best way that we can, and we benefit by it also.
Yes, and it also helps us to strengthen our awareness, and it also helps us to balance ourselves as individuals at all levels, from, you know, physical, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. I'm sure all the listeners this evening can actually sit right now and recap on some situations that might have come your way that was unexpected. And once it was all over, said, and done with, you sat and said, oh, my gosh, I wish I'd have done this, this, and this, and this. And this is where the chart has become very powerful. Now, one of the things that I really want to alliterate with all of you this evening is this is an ancient system that has been brought forth in our now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exciting, Kathy, and I want to honor you and respect you for your dedication in the study of this particular modality, because I did a show with Elizabeth Summers on the hidden or the missing letters within a name.
Yes.
Only
that's
to,
very,
to, pardon me?
That's very interesting, yes. Yes, I've done that.
Yes, because that's where our power lies. Because once we understand those undercurrents that are running, we find ourselves being able to empower ourselves to stand strong in our own empowerment as an individual. And then we have something to work with and become consciously aware of instead of it having power and control over us.
Right, absolutely. And our attitudes, there's different levels within the card system. And this is the Destiny card system with Robert Camp. And he's the one who brought it back kind of out of the ancient archives and decided to really start bringing it forth. And then I started studying it, and I've done a lot of work with Robert Camp, and it's been a lot of fun and very exciting for me. But one of the things that I've learned is that the different levels of the cards, also it depends on your attitude and how you come about. In the meaning you can help you change your attitude, or if you want to see it in a negative way, that will bring on different things for you to learn. So it really helps if you can see this in a positive way and then start dealing with letting go of the things that you need to let go of. And it shows in the charts by using nines and sevens, the things that you need to let go of, and then you can be victorious over your own life by knowing that these things are coming up for you and then letting go. I recently did a reading for a guy who had come in, a client who decided that he needed a reading. He was dating two women, and he wanted to know which woman would be the best fit for him. And so it was interesting. One of the women was not really one of the best fits for him, but the other woman was more along his line. So it was very interesting, and I think he got a lot out of it just by learning which woman would be the best for him. So he was very grateful and started dating that woman a little more, and they really hit it off really well. So it makes all the difference in the world when you can see, you know, what's going to click for you and what's not.
Yes, I agree with that, you know. Why don't I go ahead and give you my birthday, and let's get the energy flowing so our listeners this evening can actually, you know, observe the unfoldment and the process of how you go about bringing this information forward.
Mm-hmm.
So would you like to do mine?
Sure. I don't even know what your birth date is.
You do.
/4/23.
Well, I'll give it to you anyway. Okay.
Very soon. Happy birthday there, girl.
Thank you. I've been really excited about this birthday. I always have with all my birthdays. I do believe that there was one particular one, you know, it was like going over, you know, climbing up the hill and going over it, and that's how I felt, and I actually felt that at the age of 33. But it was short-lived. I spent probably about a week, and I don't know, you know, why that was so traumatic for me, but it was. But otherwise, I've been very big because outside of a celebration of Master Jesus' birthday, the other birthday that I can think that is important, the ultimate, is each individual's birthdays, because it's a new birth. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
It is a new birth. Well, there's cycles.
Speak up just a little, Kathy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
There's cycles. There's the life cycle, and each it's 13 years segments, and then there's 7-year cycle, and there's a year cycle and a 52-day cycle. So these cycles ebb and flow with each other and intertwine with each other. So we're seeing that if you are a jack of clubs, that is your Sun card. That is your main card is a Jack of Clubs. And your second card is the Seven of Spades.
Jane.
And so the Jack of Clubs a person that is very creative and really uses those creative juices in a lot of different ways. And so all your life you have been very creative. And you've got yourself in and out of things quite a bit. And the Seven of Spades is the second card, and that is kind of a card that is you're learning your spirituality. It's the seven is always about spiritual life, and the seven, the spade, is it encourages you to have faith in life and whatever circumstances that you may find yourself in, you always seem to be able to get your faith and you're able to get out of it by having faith that everything will be turned out really well for you, and it usually does.
Yes. I'm very big on faith,
actually,
by the way.
Yes, I know. The Seven of Spades is also financial stability, which also brings you through the hard times. Okay? And
okay.
Then a little more about the Jack. You have a very great imagination. You're very intuitive. You have financial creativity. And there's a lot of people that are always around you, which is, par for the course. We already know that about you, Leilani. But it says here that sometimes you can be irritable.
Oh, yes, I can. You bet I can. I call them my bad hair days.
Yeah.
But I don't have very many of those. It was really interesting because, I can remember way back when I was dating this one guy, and we took it to the next level, and one morning he turns and he looks at me and he says, "Would you just be quiet?" He says, "Do you always have to get up in the mornings happy?" And I have, I've always been that way where I, first thing in the morning, I get up, I'm very happy, and I will get up with the spring in my foot, and I'm humming and singing, in the mornings and stuff, and it just irritated them.
Yeah. Well, your yearly cycle now, you're at the end of it's from birthday to birthday, so you're at the end of this year's cycle. And when you hit your birthday, then you start a new cycle. So in this last 52 days, the Queen of Clubs has really been predominant in your life, meaning that the female part of yourself has really been coming out and wanting to search for answers and search for knowledge. And that's just the club, the Queen of Clubs. And she's really able to get out there and really figure out what's really going on, type of thing. And then there's the Two of Diamonds, which is also during this 52-day cycle. And the Two of Diamonds is a partnership with a financial partnership with another human being. And within this financial partnership, there's some karma going on, some past incarnations that you've had with this person, and probably is more than one person. But you're going to be finishing that up and going on to your next cycle. But during this year, you have had a King of Spades, which is the top card. The King of Spades means that there's been many blessings during this year. There have been things that have really gone right for you. You've got another King of Clubs also in this year, which is there's two kings, which is really telling me there's a lot of strength and durability and I'm going to get it done type of thing. And you've got actually underlining cards and stuff. You've got about 7 or 8 different kings in this whole year. So, I mean, you're just flooded with kings and queens. You've got several queens. The Queen of Hearts is in there, too. And just knowing that you're using that Queen of Hearts as the that feminine allure that will bring things to you. And that was in back in January that Queen of Hearts was running. Now, your long-range card is the 9 of Diamonds. And so your Pluto card is the 10 of Spades. And during that time, you know, the long-range card is talking about what's happening to you for the entire year. And for this year, you've had a lot of money going out of pocket, and that's the 9, meaning that there's a lot of finishing going on with the 9. And the Diamond is always talking about money. So there's a lot of completing things going on with this money thing, and it's been kind of going out from you. But when we say that it goes out from you, we also say that it comes in. You know, you may have had probably more going out this year than you have a lot coming in. However, that's going to change, and you've always been on top of it. You can see with the King of Spades throughout the influence, and that was back in July.
And let me stop you there for just
Hello?
A moment and just speak
sure,
with the listeners
something?
For a moment.
Sure.
And I want you guys,
sure.
to the listeners, I want you to think about what Kathy just said. She was sharing with all of us that I had more monies going out this birthday year. And so with that knowledge, because once again, you heard Kathy say, but you've kept a handle on it, and she's correct, because I understood that this year I would be facing more monies going out than versus coming in, then you become more, and I want you to understand this, because you don't want to control it, but you are more conscious of the flow of the money going out, and you know when to put the brakes on, and then so you have that money's coming in, returning as well, with achieving a balance enough to so you don't get yourself into some situations that you're going, oh my gosh, now what am I going to do type of thing. So thank you, Kathy,
Absolutely.
For letting me, because I really wanted them to understand how this chart can really help them through their birth year.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. So,
and your King of Diamonds is your second long range card, meaning that you know how to handle money, and it seems like it was. That's what the King of Diamonds is about. Is he's the manager of money. So he's always coming up with ideas on how to funnel it, how to handle it, and so that was always there as helping you. It was a really powerful Kings are always a very powerful card, and so it's always there helping you to figure out exactly which direction to go. So that's always been there.
Yes.
And at the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you want to talk to one of the listeners? Is there a listener?
Don will actually let me know just as soon as a listener calls in.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, so if you would like to just continue going forward, then I will stop you periodically so the listeners will connect with that.
Okay. Well, we saw at the beginning of this year, when you first had your birthday last year in the 2006, there's a Queen of Diamonds in that first Mercury cycle, and there was a tendency to spend much money, and so when you see something like that coming up, and especially with these cards, knowing where it's positioned, you can say, okay, there might be a tendency to spend. Why don't you hold back a little bit from doing that? So that's just one of those forewarned, forearmed things that we see in the charts. And so
yes.
If I had been able to read this for you, I think at the beginning of this year for you, I was telling you about that.
That's correct. You did. And one of the things that I want to expound on as well with the listeners is that when Kathy does one of these year charts for you, she does a really excellent job on, you know, helping you. She goes through the chart with you, and she will explain all the different aspects and how it will affect your life. And you also taped it as well. I know you did for me.
Yes,
Is this something that you normally do with everyone?
Yes, I tape it. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so you always have your tape as well, is to refer back to with your chart and stuff. So I just wanted to make sure I pointed that out to the listeners.
So we can move on to the next year and see what's going to happen next year. Want to do that? Just give you a little foresight in what's going on next year.
For my next
for you.
First cycle.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. As I'm pulling this up now, I can see as you're. April 23rd of 2007, I can see this 52-day cycle that's coming up for you as you hit your birthday right after it is and these are not hard and fast right at your birthday. It could be, you know, a couple weeks before or a couple of weeks after. So it's we'll see that there's a Queen of Diamonds again coming in that same kind of cycle that it was last year. Meaning that there's a possibility that you're going to be wanting to spend a little bit of money. And there's a new location. You've got two fives during this time, meaning that you're going to be moving around somewhat, either a new job or a new location living-wise in the next 52 days. And you've also got a five of hearts and a five of spades, meaning that you're actually, and there's a couple of nines that are going on during the cycle also. So there's some completion going on during this time, and you're going to find yourself moving around a little bit. And maybe while you're moving around, spending a little money doing it. But there's a deck of spades in there.
Hello.
Also, and hello.
Hold your thought. Hello and welcome to the show. Who am I speaking with?
How are you ladies doing this evening?
Great. How about yourself?
Good. Really good. This is Jehala.
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Would you like to
tell you, dear, that I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation on Saturday.
Aw, thank you. I did,
and so many more things
you
have become.
What? I've actually thought about you since then.
I've thought about you a lot, too.
Oh, bless your heart.
Most definitely.
Well,
I have two statements to give you also.
Okay.
That came from the ethers.
Ah.
One of those is the definition of love is passionate intent.
Okay.
Does that make any sense to you?
Yes, ma'am, it does.
And then an Andromedan has said to us that love that you withhold is the pain that you will carry.
With the pain what?
The love that we withhold as humans is the pain that we will carry.
Okay.
That's very profound.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if we don't give love unconditionally like the animals do, we carry that into the next, well, when we pass from here and that ether in between, and we judge ourselves for the lack of love that we didn't give when we're doing the review of our life.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes. I got it. Thank you.
So, Kathy, it sounds really interesting, the reading that you've been doing, that you did for Leilani.
Yeah.
Exactly. How does all that work?
Would you like me to do a little bit for you?
I can't. We're having a bad connection here, so forgive me if I continue to ask what.
Would you like me to do a little bit for you? I can give me your birth date, and I can do a little bit
for
you.
Sure. I'm one of them double number people. It's 9/20/55.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so honored you called the show. I'll give Kathy a few moments to switch gears here, but is it safe to say and share with the listeners that you are also a VBS radio show host?
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
Congratulations.
Don and I are just trying to coordinate my time as people in fur coats.
Yes, and please share with all the listeners the name of your show, the day that you'll be broadcasting, and your hours as well, if you would.
Not sure yet. Don hasn't got back with me on when I'm scheduled. I'm on the schedule, just don't know what the time was. I've got to talk to him the next couple of days.
Okay, so let's repeat your name, your show name once again, so all the listeners can look out for your broadcast.
It's Jahala Jackson, and I am. My show is called People in Fur Coats, and our show will be basically about the holistic approach to animals, what our obligation here on this planet as human beings. We are caretakers and caregivers for the animals of the planet, and they have provided so much for us. They've gave their lives for us multiple times on a daily basis, not only for the sustenance that we put in our mouth, but also as companions, and the insects, I include them in there, and it's all animals, all species on this planet. And we're just going to try to bring us back to oneness with Mother Earth, what she also cares for the animals, and what our responsibility is to all of that encompasses that.
Excellent. Thank you. So, Kathy, are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Jahala? Halia?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You are four of clubs is your main card, and your second card is a two of diamonds.
Mm.
So this particular year for you, you've got some upcoming chances, and the three of hearts is one of your long-range cards for this year, and it just so happens that Leilani has also got a Three of Hearts card for this year, so this coming year when she gets her birthday. So what the Three Hearts is talking about is that there usually will be two or more suitors that will come into your life, that will be, there'll be men who are going to be wanting to definitely court you and sweet talk you in. So in January of this year for you, I see there's actually as a double King of Hearts during the time January 3rd to February 24th. And during that time, you were, there was a man probably that was the ideal man that you've always wanted has come in, and he's perhaps fiery and passionate, and I'm really saying that it's there simply because not only is the King of Hearts doubled, but underneath the King of Hearts is the Three of Diamonds, the Three of Hearts also. So during this time, from January to February 24th, during that time, you were being pursued probably either by one or two men, at least, and so there was one that was actually more your type or more that fit your ideal, And this is going to go out on through the rest of the year as well. So there's going to be, right now, there's another suitor coming in. Because right after that, from the February 24th to March 17th, or April 17th, during that time, there's been another suitor coming in. But there's also a nine of hearts, which means that there was a conclusion, there was an ending to one of those relationships. I can see that it was a spiritual lesson, and there was some money involved in that. The King of Diamonds and the Seven of Diamonds during Jupiter is a very, very high money card. The Seven of Diamonds being in Jupiter, even though it's an underlining card, means that there's a possibility of you having millions of dollars. It's in the secondary position, not in the first position, so it doesn't mean that the millions will definitely be there, but there will be money coming in during this time. You're at the end of that segment of 52 days right now. So we're coming up to the 7th. We are at the 17th of April. So as it's the 17th of April, which is today, right? Today it says 17th?
Right. Yes.
Right. As of today, you're going into another 52-day cycle. You just left the one where there was two men, you know, involved. And I don't know where these men are or who they are, but they're very powerful. You've got a lot of kings in there that are associated with that. Right underneath the King of Hearts was a King of Clubs, and the King of Clubs is absolutely the leader and wants to search for knowledge, and that is a partnership. So that was in Jupiter, and it means that that particular relationship would have been a very good blessing to you had if that was something that you decided to go with. But like I said, you'll have plenty of opportunities yet still this year to complete that and find out whether this is the one you want. During the next segment, this next 52 days, the Two of Hearts is in there, and the Two of Hearts means that there's going to be a little high energy for making love and having wonderful times and, you know, just a little bit of movement going on. There's a Five of Clubs, which means there's some movement, but there's also a little bit of worry. And the Three of Clubs is also there, which means that you're worrying perhaps this next 52 days there might be a little bit of worry going on and some spiritual lessons going on, but a new beginning with the heart. Can you tell me, can you verify whether this is something that's really wanting, you're going towards perhaps marriage?
Is there something that I want?
No, is it something that's going on? Is that actually something that you feel like is going on?
You mean in my own personal life or like in my relationship?
Yes, in your personal life.
My personal life. No more than the normal, usual stress thing, no. You know, trying to get the dollar in so $1 comes in and $5 go out, that kind of thing, you know, pay the bills.
Yes. But you're capable of managing it. There's the King of Diamonds, and what you just got through was there's this manager person part of you that was really good at managing it. Yes, there was money going out, but there was also the ability to take control of that.
Yes, yeah. You have to learn to do that. That's an acquired learning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And remember, you've
when,
got money coming
you may
in.
Get one sum a month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you can't go out and spend it all in one day.
Money's coming.
Yeah. There's a tendency during July and August and, June 8th to the next of your birthday, after June 8th, there might be a tendency to want to spend some money on travel and getting away, because you've got two Queen of Diamonds there, and she likes to spend money, and she loves to have things of quality, and she loves traveling, and so during that time, there's another romantic interest that will pop in also during that time. There's a Four of Diamonds, it's and a Jack of Diamonds. the Four of Hearts and the Jack of Diamonds. During that time, you're going to see possibly another suitor that will come in that will be perhaps a little bit of karma. You've had karma with this person before. You've known him before. So,
And he's not the one I'm presently with, right?
Well, it could be. You've got three of hearts, meaning that there's a whole atmosphere that's going on with you and finding the love of your life and finding the ideal man. And this ideal man has fire, and he has perhaps a go-getter and that sort of thing. And that's what you're looking for, because it's in the cards. I can see it there. Whether he showed up yet or not, I don't know. But I do know that the potential for that is very, very strong, because we've got three of hearts cards in there, and then you've got the two king of hearts. So you've got a lot of hearts and the two of hearts, and I mean, just this whole atmosphere of love and romance is there for you. Mm. And it's got to be coming on. It's got to be there, because it's just very, very strong.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the relationship I'm in at the moment. Their love is their fear.
with that, there's a nine of hearts that's sitting in the Jupiter time frame from February 24th to April 17th. During this time, there will be a disconnection of a relationship. There will be an ending to a relationship. So whatever relationship has come in that's been romantic, perhaps, there will be an ending to that, but then there will be a new beginning that will start now, right now, on today. There will be something that will come in. There will be a new beginning, and you'll be thinking of marriage, and you will be thinking of how your heart is going to be singing and pleased, and you're going to be able to manage it. You're going to be able to, but it will also be karmic. This person that's coming in will have a karmic tie to you. This is six of spades. That's one of your reward cards, meaning that that there is karma involved in this new relationship. So there will be a different man coming in. There was an ending to one, and there's a new beginning.
Okay. I didn't really resolve myself to have another man, but okay.
Well, what this is saying to me is that please leave yourself open and let your heart be open for the possibilities of the ideal man to come in, because it's there. There's a possibility that he's going to be coming in this year. So just it's kind of like a dating year where you're finding out what you like and don't like.
Okay.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
If you have a mate that you've been dealing with, or a person that you've been dealing with, if you give me the birth date of that person, I can tell you how they're interrelating and where they are in your chart.
Okay, well, they're certainly karmic. We've definitely been together here before. And his birth date is 11-14-65. We've been together about 9 years. And it was an instant bonding.
So did you find that that was ending?
Day one that we met.
That was ending?
Pardon?
Was that the one that was ending?
No, it hasn't ended yet, but I'm resolving myself that it's probably going to. They have some issues that they have to work on themselves. I can't do it for them.
Right.
I need a full-time partner, not a part-time.
Right.
I can relate with that.
Exactly.
Oh.
Yay, I need you here, body and spirit, all the time, not just body, you know?
Yes, you are. The reason that he has some feminine aspects that are very, very feminine, his quest is to find knowledge and want to find knowledge, but he has this feminine aspect to himself, and he's He's learning karma. He's learning what comes out of his mouth and that has to be truthful and honest. And he's learning that he's reaping the consequences of whatever's coming out of his mouth and whatever his actions are, that he has to pay the consequences and be responsible. The Six of Clubs, if you want to write this down, he is the Six of Clubs. That's his first card. His second card is the Queen of Clubs. And so he's a lot of mind-orientated. He's his head is in the thought process a lot. And so his Pluto card for his life is a Nine of Hearts, meaning that there's a lot of endings going on in his life that he is learning how to get some endings done and finish them in a loving way. This year, his long-range card is, and he's 41 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, his long-range card is the Queen of Hearts. In other words, the Queen of Hearts is a very sexy female, and so it's this feminine side of him that you probably care about and adore. Because what the males that are intellectual and have this feminine side, we always love them so much. And but he also has three of hearts as his long range card. And so this year for him, he has been learning how to. Well, actually, he's got a 7-year cycle with the Three of Hearts. He's been learning throughout this 7-year cycle that he wants to learn how to date and to get along with many women. His
orange
card is the Queen. Yes. Well, that's part of his right now. This seven. It's a long range 7-year. A 7-year cycle, and during that 7-year cycle, he has been wanting to be out there and figure out what women are and who they are, and let me take a look here.
We certainly have more of a plutonic relationship than a passionate relationship. We're more like brothers and sisters or best friends, even though we're married.
Yes. And this year he's got right in his right now in his cycle, his 52-day cycle, he's got a King of Spades. The King of Spades is the top card of the deck, and it doesn't move very well. It's like when the wind blows, they stay straight. They will not move with the wind. And so sometimes, and he's got a King of Clubs underneath it. In other words, his intellectual knowledge is very fiery and saying, I'm going to stay here and I'm not moving. However, there are some things that are completing for him also during this cycle, this Mars cycle for him, and it's finishing up on April 20th, and he'll move into another 52-day cycle. And that 52-day cycle is going to be, he'll be thinking of marriage. He'll be thinking of that he'll be charming in groups, he'll be there's this come see, come saw type of thing that happens with him. He's a Scorpio, so that Scorpio, or is he a Leo? Yeah, he's a Scorpio. The Scorpio has a tendency to come see, come saw, and so he's got a divorce card as well as a marriage card all in the same cycle, in this Jupiter cycle. From April 20th until June 11th, and during that cycle, he's going back and forth, marriage, divorce, marriage, divorce, marriage, divorce, and he's going back and forth. But Jupiter is a planet of blessings, so sooner or later, I believe he'll figure it out and will figure out what he wants to do. But he's a very charming individual, and the women love him because he. He has this feminine aspect that the women love, and
you're totally right.
He has three cards. His first card is the Six of Clubs. His second card is the Ten of Clubs, and the third card is the Queen of Clubs. so you can see that his intellectual self is very out there, and he is searching for knowledge, searching. But the Ten of Clubs, I have to tell you, his the second card, the Ten of Clubs has a hard time making decisions. They just really cannot make decisions. They're in one place, and they say they're really going to go for it one day, and then the second day, the next day, they're on to something else, and they're going to really go for that. And then the third day, they're on to really something else, and they're going to really go for that. And I know several
just
people
like him.
Who are Ten of Clubs. I know several
just
people
just
who are
can't
ten of
seem
clubs
to keep it focused long enough.
Right.
Ladies, I'm going to have to interject here because
okay.
We're coming to the close of this show. But we
oh, my gosh, really?
Yes. We hope that
you
we
ladies, thank you so much.
Well, and thank you for calling into the show. I'm honored to have had you call in. And I hope
all
that
right,
you
dear. Thank you
for our next
bye-bye.
Guest. Bye-bye. Wow, Kathy, this is it. Amazing.
Well, can we say that I have a website? Can we say that I have
yes.
a website that they can go to?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Kathy's website, I'd like to share it with all you listeners, is destiny-matches.com. I also have it listed on my show page. I encourage all of you to please explore her website. And if you have any questions, you're able to call Kathy at area code 480-577-8873. That number again is 480-577-8873. And the website once again is Destiny, D-E-S-T-I-N-Y, hyphen, matches, matches.com. Kathy, it was an honor and a delight to have you. We'll have you back on the show. And it's amazing
thank
how
you.
Time just flies.
I
isn't
know, it?
It
does. It does. Especially when you're having fun.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Balani.
Well, you
thank
have
you
a great
so much.
Evening. Thank you, oh, Kathy.
Okay.
All right. Good night
bye-bye.
To you. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye.
Good night. Good night. The first thing I'd like to do with all of you is I'm really excited about our next guest. And, you know, it's one of those shows that I was really, really, you know, marking my calendar as the days went by. It's a passionate subject for myself as an individual, and I know that it will be for each and every one of you as well. I'm sure that all of you have had the very similar experiences. I know that I've seen 11-11 for the past year and a half, and it's been quite predominant in my own life. From every time I look up at the clock, I see 11-11. I start up my vehicle. What do I see? It's 11-11. Every time I turn around, I was seeing 11-11. May have happened to me in the past, but it was almost that it just jumped right out from a clock or whatever, and I mean, it was the point of where I had to stop in what I was doing because it just made itself so present to me, and I said, wait a minute, what is going on here? What is this 11-11 really truly all about? Now, what has been going on with me as well is I've noticed that it shifted a little bit in the past 6 months. Not only have I been seeing 11-11, but soon afterwards, I would see the numbers 1-1. Actually, it would be 0-1-0-1, which we all know that is also new beginnings. And so, of course, I was one of those individuals. I've heard a lot about the 11-11, but had I ever really stopped to think of what did that really mean for myself as an individual, along with on a world global level, and once this started taking place for me and it started really catching my attention, I started to investigate. And once I did, I went, oh my gosh, where have I been? Have I had my head stuck in the sand somewhere? Humanity really needs to understand the full effect and the actual degree of what 1111 truly means for you individually and collectively. So I am real excited about this show. I hope that you will grab something to write with. I hope that you will call in and interact with our next guest. This is your moment, your chance to really dive in, to have a full understanding of what 1111 truly means for you as an individual. So without delay, let me share some history of our next guest. This young lady is one of the true visionaries of our time. Solara is widely respected for her integrity, courage, and dedication. She facilitated the 1111 planetary activation in 1992, in which well over 144, and we all know this number, do we not? People from all over the world participated. Okay? And what's really profound for me is her own statement. She does not claim to be a guru, nor does she have followers. Rather, she serves as a catalyst to activate us into our own mastery so we may fully inhabit the greater reality. Solar is also not a channel. She simply embodies her vastness and lives her truth. Wow, what a profound statement to make. And it's time for each and every one of us to live the same way. And it's all available to each and every one of us. Solara has a rare gift of expressing the unexpressible, communicating with clarity, power, grounded practicality, deep love, and humor. Her message calls us to embrace both our humanness and our vastness so we can merge into the physical and become vibrantly alive to be real in an unreal world. Solara has given numerous talks, workshops, master classes. She is the 1111 Gate Activation Teaching, the 1111 Sacred Dances, and Activating Our One Being. She has traveled all over the world. She does a lot of her work in Argentina, Australia, Belgium, Brazil, Canada, Ecuador, Egypt, England, Finland, Germany, Hong Kong, Hungary, India, Ireland, Italy, New Zealand, Norway, Peru, Scotland, Sweden, Switzerland, Tahiti, Turkey, and the U.S. In some of those countries, I was not able to pronounce correctly, and so please forgive me, but she has...
One day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly. I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born to fly. We were born to fly. So was I. I ask myself, what will I come to be? I have a choice now, so I guess it's up to me. Maybe I will make a difference in this world. Maybe I will teach another boy or another girl how to fly. Teach them all that they were born to fly. And we were born to fly, so was I. But when you live in a world that tells you that you can't, and when you live in a world that says you must be something other than what you are, in a world that forgets, you were born to fly. We were born to fly. We were born to fly.
Spiritual Connection, and I am your host, May Leilani. Our call-in numbers this evening are toll-free 877-270-8714 or same area codes 530-876-9026, 876-3223, or 413-4515. We do apologize to all our listeners of BBSRadio.com. We just, sometimes those things happen, everyone, and I'm sure that you can understand and relate to it. I do know that all of us have been experiencing a bit of these challenges within our own environment, so I do know that all of you can indeed relate. Let me bring you back up to speed on our next guest, and I have really, really looked forward to Solara joining us all the way from the Hawaiian Islands. I've been very thrilled and a deep understanding and an appreciation for the incredible work that this young lady does. It's very obvious to me, and it will be to all of you as well, if you already do not know, of her selfless work in her travels
to facilitate in activating the 11-11 stargates. And so with honor, please allow me to welcome her to the show. Solara, are you with me?
I'm with you. Hello, Leilani, and hello, everyone.
Aloha to you.
Oh, thank you, and to you.
Thank you. It is really an exciting moment for me, Solara. I have counted the days for this show. It has personally had an impact in my own personal environment. I know that there has been others as well. And it's really interesting because once the 11-11 really caught my attention, I finally pulled my hand out of the sand and said, I need to investigate this and really understand what this really truly means for me as an individual, as well as universal.
Mm-hmm. Us as a collective whole.
Yes.
Well, 11-11 has been appearing to millions and millions of people all over the world. You're not alone. You're in good company. And, I mean, wherever I travel anywhere in the world, it doesn't matter, all walks of life, it's been appearing for over 20 years. Digital clocks, of course, is probably the main way, but all different ways. I mean, you go to some place like Taco Bell and you order your food and you drive up to the window and they go, it's $11.11, please. And, I mean, it's very persistent. And we'll go through phases where all of a sudden you'll get a lot of occurrences of 11-11, and then you may go through a while, like 6 months or so, and you don't get it again, and then all of a sudden it will start appearing. And as I said, it's going across the board to lots and lots of people everywhere. I've had like truck drivers call me from Kansas, like, you know, going, what is this? I'm not into any of this, but I just keep seeing it. And he found me through the website. So, I mean, it's a major, major occurrence. Many of us, of the early seers of 11-11, we thought we were the only ones, and we thought it was our own personal quirk. And, yeah, you know, friends used to go, oh, there's one of your 11-11s. But what it really is, it's a major wake-up call, number one.
Okay.
11-11 was pre-encoded in our cellular memory banks way before we ever came down to this planet. And it was sort of encoded under a time release mechanism. So when the time of completion arrived, then it was activated. So it was first activated most strongly right before the first original activation of the doorway of the 11-11, which was January 11th, 1992. So it's been going for quite a long time. And as I said, some people haven't seen it until just recently. It goes in waves where it will sort of reach a whole other group of people that didn't see it before. And what it's waking us up to, this huge wake-up call, is because this is the times of completion. And what that means, it's not like doom and gloom, it's not Armageddon, all that stuff. It means we're completing duality, our passage through duality here on this planet. And 11-11, the doorway of the 11-11, it creates the bridge between duality and oneness. And ever since the first imposition of time, we've been having all of our cycles of lifetimes over and over, all subject to the rules of duality. And those are all the rules of opposition, polarity, separation. If we're happy, then later on we have to be sad. Karma is one of the laws of duality. And the doorway of the 11-11, when it was first activated in early 1992, it took a very different evolutionary spiral anchored in oneness, and it created a zone of overlap between those two, the duality and oneness. And so that's what many of us and millions of us are sort of crossing that bridge right now. And so there's a whole new reality system that's coming in. We used to think, you know, growing up, we used to think duality was the only game in town. And now a lot of us are realizing, hey, it's not only the only game, not the only game, but it's not real. And so when you're ever in the times of completion, there's a huge sense of unreality. With a lot of elements of our life, it affects it because something called the greater reality is coming in now. And this is the greater reality exists in the template of oneness. And it's not something we go to, like the old concept of ascension or going home or something like that. It's the greater reality comes here. It comes into the physical reality. It comes into the here and now. It comes into our present moment. And it comes into our everyday lives. So the 1111 is, I don't even call it a stargate because there's so many stargates. It's way more than a stargate. It's a major doorway of the likes of which we rarely experience. I mean, there was one long, long time ago, so long ago, it's not even in our histories, but these are very, very rare occurrences which give us a massive opportunity to, not just quantum leap, there aren't even words for it, but it's to make an entire evolutionary shift onto a new evolutionary template and onto a very accelerated timing. So
well,
that's what the 1111, and then it becomes, once you start making that shift, it's really a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way of being in the here and now, in our body, in our physical, with our complete vastness. It's a way of becoming whole beings and incorporating, you know, the whole beings in everything we do.
Well, let me ask you this, Salar, because I know that, you know, it became very apparent to me in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you know, I didn't see it anymore. And then it in 2007, once again, I started seeing the 1111. Now, the difference between the 1111 that I was experiencing in 2006, lately when I see 1111, soon after that I see the 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Well, that makes sense, actually.
It does, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, within the doorway of the 1111, this doorway opened, as I said, in January 11th, 1992, it's going to close on November 11th, 2011. So we have a nearly 20-year period to make this shift of reality systems, going from duality, a duality-based reality to one-based or anchored in oneness. So within that doorway of the 1111, there's 11 gates, and these are like frequency bands of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And every few years, different ones of these gates are activated. And we can talk about that more in a few minutes if you want to.
Absolutely.
The 11 gates are like, the best way to describe them, other than frequency bands of energy, it's like going traveling through a canal, and you come to the lock in the canal, like in the Suez Canal in Egypt or something, or the Panama Canal. And as you travel through the canal, when you get in the lock, you've reached the end of the old road, and you can't travel any further. And the only way to travel further is you wait, and the lock fills up with water, and it rises you to a new level, and then you can travel on. The new road's revealed. So each of these 11 gates within the 1111 doorway is like a lock in the canal. And on February 11th this year, we had the activation of the eighth gate of the 1111. So there have been seven previous activations. And so... the sightings of 1111 really started perking up, of course, in the months leading up to this, because this was probably the most powerful activation since the first one.
Mm-hmm.
This really took things to a very, very new level. And the 0101 that you see, signifying new beginnings, well, this eighth gate really does signify new beginnings. I mean, totally new beginnings.
Wow. And you know, it's really interesting, Salara, because I have really felt that in the core of my being. Now, I was sharing with the listeners a couple of weeks ago how I had sat in my backyard watching the sunset and feeling the beautiful breeze up against my skin, and my cats were out playing and so forth, and I was just really communing with the outdoors. And I felt a flame ignite inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow. I had never felt that before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, and ever since that has taken place, I've known that there were major changes about to come, and it was going to be very exciting. And I have actually taken the steps to prepare myself for these changes that are about to occur.
Well, that's what we all need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's really important. Well, the eighth gate is all about anchoring the new matrix of true love. And it's so, but it's on a whole new level, or a whole deeper, much vaster, deeper, more expanded level, more real level than anything that we've ever experienced here. And it's such an important gate that there's actually going to be two of these. The first one was this February, and the second one is going to be the end of 2008. So our whole emphasis now for this year and next year is on really anchoring the new matrix of love. And 2007 is really about getting into our new lives. It's about changing position and getting into a position of right time, right place. And so,
and you know what?
And in order
starting to see that show up in my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how it, then you're just right in the right timing. But
well, I wanted you to know that I actually participated with the February activation.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I was actually sharing with the listeners earlier, or they may not have heard me, you know, sharing it with them. But it was extremely profound for me.
It was really strong. This one, well, the first original 1111 activation, 92, we had thousands of anchor groups all over the world. We had 560-something anchor groups only in Brazil. And in subsequent activations, we've had a lot. And like Turkey, up till this one, in the last fourth, fifth, and sixth, they had over 100 anchor groups just in the country of Turkey, which is amazing. But in this one, in Eighth Gate, we had, I mean, just more anchor group people doing anchor groups than we've had in a long time, all over the world. I mean, I don't know, 700 of them or something. And they all said they've been writing reports. It was one of the strongest experiences of their lives.
Yes.
And they really felt it. And the whole role of anchor groups is very much changing in these activations.
That is correct.
It's really expanding. And we used to always feel the anchor groups. There's something called the master cylinder at each of these 1111 activations, which is the center point, and that's where the energies are first activated. And we always, one of the first things we do at the master cylinders is read the entire long list of anchor groups all over the world. And usually you feel them coming in and sort of being in a circle around you. Well, this time it was very different. We didn't feel them right there in the circle. We felt them really huge, huge circle and really huge, huge beings. And, I mean, they were like our guardians.
Yes.
Some places the anchor group started before we started our physical activation, and they did so much of the work for us. Because the whole thing in an 1111 activation is all the anchor groups and the master cylinder and just individuals who aren't in an anchor group or a master cylinder, we all align together as one being. And that's one of the, I mean, knowing that we're all part of one living organic being. This isn't unity, this isn't, you know, just those old concepts of togetherness. This is very organic. And in truth, we all are one being. And
well,
we really need to step into that.
I want to really share this with you because one of the things that the facilitator did here in Arizona is she had actually had a map of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And she used straight pins with, you know, the heads on them.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually put the pins in all the different areas of all
mm-hmm.
the groups that were participating with you in this activation. And what it really did for me, and I was so glad she did that, because when I looked at this map and saw how many groups from all over the world that were joining
mm-hmm.
together, it was huge for me, and I was able to really connect with all these groups, and I went, wow.
Yeah, we put stickers. A lot of anchor groups, we put stickers on the map instead of pins because it's more transportable that way. But it's really impressive. And you look at some place like Russia, and there were like around 50 or more anchor groups in Russia. The first time ever we had anchor groups in Kazakhstan and in Belarus, you know, and Kyrgyzstan. I mean, there were many countries that hadn't participated before that were now activating and joining with us as one being. So it's just, it's remarkable, and it makes it possible because each subsequent activation is bigger and stronger, and so it needs more people participating as one to just hold and anchor the energies.
That's why I'm very grateful to you that you were so willing to come forth and share the information, because I know how busy your schedule is. I mean,
it's ridiculous.
I know.
It's beyond the level of the impossible. So you just do whatever you can.
And I thought, wow, this is just amazing to me, because, you know, human beings, we're very visual, you know, and to see the amount of participation from all over the world, and then just to think of you as one individual that really traveled and pulled groups together to facilitate.
Oh, I devoted, it was, you know, I was born to do this, so I devoted my life to it.
That's obvious.
But now it's at the point where it has to expand beyond me. And it's starting to do that. I mean, not just with anchor groups, but in the core of our one being, holding the responsibility, holding the vision.
Mm-hmm.
And it's finally starting to do that, which it has to do.
Well, share with us, because I noticed when I was exploring your website, and by the way, for all the listeners, I've got a wealth of information about Solara and the 1111, and please love yourselves by taking time out to really explore Solara's website. It's just full of information, and you'll get very excited. But it's not a website that you want to breathe through very quickly, because
it's like about 1,000 pages.
Oh my God.
It's www.invisible, but it begins with an N. There's no I at the front. That's the only trick. So it's invisible, NVISIBLE.com. And I really recommend everyone read on that the Surf Report for the year of 2007. That has a lot of very, very
good information. I have that report sitting right in front of me, by the way, Solara.
Mm-hmm.
Of the 2007. I found
this is a great transitional year. And part of getting into the position of our new lives, at first, before we make the leap, what we're dealing with, a lot of us right now, is dealing with what's expired. You know how when a milk in the carton expires, it's past its expiration date, you can't drink it because it tastes terrible and it's all sour and lumpy. Well, we have many elements within our lives that have also expired. And some are obvious, like some of us are still doing jobs that we don't like or still in relationships that are not nourishing or abusive. Those have obviously expired, you know. Sometimes we're living in places or have friends that friendship has expired. Sometimes we have old beliefs that have expired. And we also have old vows, spiritual vows from long, long ago that have expired. And so it's really important this year that every one of us take a really clear look at every element in your life and look at those old vows that we just took for granted, because maybe they went on for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, but a lot of them, this is a time where many, many elements have either are reaching now or have already just reached their expiration date, and they need to be let go of. And in order to move into our new lives, we really need to do this. So the focus has been a lot on repatterning the past. And repatterning the past is not just forgiving it or letting it go or, you know, dropping it in the dustbin. Repatterning the past is changing actually changing the energetic patterning so certain types of events don't occur again.
So what would you be your suggestions for the listeners on how to change those patterns?
Well, I always start where I live because that's in your immediate surroundings. First of all, just start going through everything.
Okay.
Get rid of all the books that you don't read anymore, that you don't want to read again, the music you don't like. You know, go through your clothes, get rid of the stuff that might be beautiful, might be in great new condition, but never makes you feel good. You know, just make everything around you, all your physical surroundings, much truer to who you really are. And then you start combing through your inner being. And you comb through the beliefs and the spiritual practices and the tools and everything that got you up to the point where you are now, but look at them and say, will they go further with me? Is it appropriate they go further? Or is it just time to say thank you very much? What I've been doing a huge project of repatterning the past. My two best-selling books, The Starborn and another one called 1111, they've been out of print for 2 years. And I have piles of orders, certainly could use the money and all of that, and I've let them be out of print, and instead for the past 2 years, since 2005, I have totally rewritten them. And I'm almost finished, and hopefully they'll be out in June, and they're going to be totally new books. I mean, there's some things I kept because they're still true. There's other things that I've taken to a whole new level, or I have a clearer way of expressing it. And other things have just passed their time and got dropped out.
Yes.
So it's really important, every element that we can see from inside, outside, gets repatterned, recalibrated to reflect really who we are now and who we're in the process of becoming. And it's also no longer a time for any kind of compromises, compromising our integrity, never. Compromising our true dignity, never. Compromising what we know to be true and right, never. Compromising our true feelings, never. You know, I mean, we just have to really be real now, be real and true, and just love with our full beings, live with our full beings.
Yes, because I have indeed found that for myself. You know, one of the areas that I have really been working with is really truly learning to love myself and appreciate who I am. You know, of course, I walked around for years thinking that I truly loved myself. You know, what are you talking about? But I'm getting it.
There's always new levels, always new layers. And
yeah.
The time we're in now, it's a good example or a good analogy would be like when a building is under construction and how they put that metal scaffolding all over the building and they're gutting the inside. I mean, I'm not talking about redecorating. I'm talking about major remodeling, major renovation. You know, you're pulling out the kitchen. You're pulling out the bathroom. You're putting in new plumbing, new electrical. You know, it's not just painting the walls. You're tearing down walls. You're, you know, adding new rooms. And that's what's happening to ourselves. And so we're undergoing this major, major construction phase or reconstruction, reconfiguration. And during that time, it's sort of awkward, too, because it's not like, oh, let's pop in the kitchen and cook dinner. I mean, you can't even find where the kitchen, you can go back, go to where the kitchen used to be. But it's not necessarily there anymore, and even if it is, everything's torn apart. Well, it's being rebuilt.
Yes.
Sleeker, more efficient, more beautiful, you know, truer. And so it's like that with every element within ourselves. So it's sometimes said it's awkward because you go to do something and you go, oh, I can't, that way always used to serve me of doing it in those old ways before, but now it no longer pertains. It's no longer who I am. It's no longer true to me. And so need to be, like, deal with it, just accept the awkwardness of being in transition this year, because it's a great transitional year. And instead of going, oh, let's see, this used to be the kitchen. Okay, I'll light a little fire here and, you know, get a hot plate and put it right where the stove used to be. It's like, instead, let's look at it with new eyes and say, okay, where's the new kitchen going? Where is it really supposed to be? Because everything's been repositioned into its right time, right place, and we need to be really open and let go of all old assumptions, all old judgments, all old preferences. You know, it's like, oh, I don't like the color orange, you know? It's like, do you want to carry that with you forever, you know, or I don't like eating spinach? Maybe you can say, well, my old self didn't like the color orange or eating spinach, but let's see if my new self does. And your new self may or may not. But you're a lot freer if you give yourself that opportunity.
Absolutely. I know one of the things that I've noticed as well about myself, you know, I've always really enjoyed purple and green and gold around me. Now, the gold still stands strong with me, but I notice that I'm ready to let go of these colors and bring in new colors in my environment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gotten to a point where it's like if I have, you know, to have it here one more day, I don't know if I can tolerate it.
Mm-hmm.
It's that kind of a feel to me.
Yep.
So
everything's shifting. I mean, music that I used to just adore, I can't even listen to it anymore. You know, same with books, and that's fine. It's just let it go, like pass it on to somebody who will be their next step and be open to yours. I have a saying that's in my book, How to Live Large on a Small Planet, and it says, live every day as if it was both your first and your last.
Ooh,
and
I like
people
that.
Simply did this, if it was your first day on Earth, you have no assumptions, you have no judgment, you have no brutal past experiences, no broken hearts. You don't know what you like or don't like. You meet every occurrence with openness and freshness. And if you also treat every day as if it was your last, then you're it's that real say, if today was our last day on Earth, we would tell everyone how much we love them, how much we appreciated them. We would enjoy every sip of water. It's like, oh, this is the best water. Oh, listen to the birds singing. Oh, what a beautiful flower. You know, we would appreciate every element. And those, it sounds very simplified, but it's not. If everybody on this earth just treated every day as if it was both their first day and their last day, we'd all be living in mastery.
Wow.
It's really simple, but the 1111 is that way of life. And the thing that's amazing about the 1111 from the first one on is this entire thing, you were talking about it earlier, it was achieved without publicity, without advertising, without an organization, without funding. You know, all the information out of it just went from heart to heart to heart to heart. It either resonated with you or it didn't. And if it resonated with you, then you told people that you thought it would resonate, your friends, you know, that you thought it would resonate with them. And the word just spread like a wildfire, but not through, you know, big publicity. I mean, I do very little. I never do TV. I once in a while do radio, usually small shows that just appeal to me. You know, I never do articles and things. I mean, I just don't like those things because it distorts.
And bless your heart for your willingness to participate with me this evening. I knew when I sent you that email and you said yes, I understood that yes.
Mm-hmm.
From you. I actually knew. And it was like, oh my God, she said yes, yes.
Can I talk a little bit about the one being? Because I think it's important for people to understand that.
Yes, please.
It's
do.
Such a basic element that really, I mean, ever since we first came to this planet, once we started living under the template of duality, we misperceived ourselves as separate individuals.
Cool.
And I always used to give the analogy of, say, you're all standing on the tip of the ray of a star. And we're all on the tips of the ray, and we're all looking straight out away from the center of the star. And you look and you go, where's everybody else? Why am I all alone, you know? And you finally turn way over to your side, and you see somebody else standing on the tip of the ray of, you know, the next ray over. And you go, hello, separate from me. You know, so we had that perception. And then we had all this yearning to return to the one, and we go, where's home? Where's the one? You know, how come we're so stranded down here? And it's, you know, so the first shift, the first phase of awakening was just to turn yourself around. And suddenly you're still at the tip of the ray, but you're looking up into the center of the star, and you go, oh, my gosh, I never left. I never left the heart of the one. And then you look to your side, and you see somebody else on the tip, the next, you know, tip of ray, and you go, oh, we're not separate. We're all of the one. And if more and more, I mean, more and more people are realizing we're all part of one being. And so if we're all part of one being, it really does matter if people are starving in Africa or if there's floods over here, you know, or if people are killing each other over in some other part of the world, because it's all affecting our one being. It's just the same when we have a toothache, for example. If you take our human body, our physical body is a perfect map of the one being. If you look at it, the human body, it's composed of a lot of different parts. You know, it's got knees and ears and hair and nose and internal organs, all these feet, and they all work together as one. And when you have a toothache, you can't just say, oh, tough luck, toothache, you know, get yourself to a dentist, that's your problem, you know, like we do to a lot of things in the world, because we can't be bothered from our own lives, even though the rest of your physical body is feeling great. If you have a toothache, it affects your entire system. So what do you have to do to deal with it? The entire body has to go to the dentist. And, you know, and then you get it fixed. And people are some people are so afraid, oh, if I'm in the one being, I'll lose my individuality. Well, if you look at your physical body, nothing's lost its individuality. You know, a knee is still a knee. You know, a stomach is still a stomach. But what you get is you get your purpose. For example, if you were an elbow, you know, and you're going, you know, occasionally if you're really lucky, you're an elbow in a world of all these different body parts, and you're going, oh, nobody understands me, where's my people, you know, what am I doing here? And then you meet another elbow, and you're so happy, like, oh, soulmate, you know, and really, another elbow, they really understand who I am, they understand, you know, elbow language, and it's really exciting, but what did two elbows do in a world of a lot of different body parts? But if those elbows or any part knows that it's part of the one being,
that's right,
then suddenly the elbows click into position and they go, oh, I'm the right elbow of the one. I'm the left elbow of the one. It gives you your purpose.
Honey, I apologize for interjecting.
It's all right. No, but if you're searching for your purpose, which a lot of people are, like, why am I really here? And if you're still relating to yourself as an elbow, separate, you know, like a separate entity, you're not going to find your purpose. It's only when you go, oh, I'm of the one, like I'm Solara of the one. You are Leilani of the one. We are all of the one. And then you get... then your purpose, and everybody's got sealed orders, you know, and some people been frustrated for years trying to blast them open or force them open, you know, like, why am I really here? What's my true destiny and purpose?
Yeah.
And the sealed orders aren't going to pop open if you're still living in duality. It's only after you step into oneness and start living in the greater reality and you realize, hey, we're all of the one. How can I serve the one? And when you start serving the one, you also start serving yourself on the most intimate personal levels. And that's one thing about this eighth gate that just we're in the middle of. We've had one activation. Another one's coming the end of next year. It's part of it is the unification of serving the one with the fulfillment of our most personal intimate desires beyond our wildest dreams. They finally merge together. It's not, oh, we have to do this juggling act. Oh, now I'm being spiritual. Oh, now I'm taking care of business, practical things. There's no separation. Everything's sacred. Every moment's the chance of a lifetime, you know? And it's like so many people compartmentalize. That's an illusion.
I agree. with my heart with that because, you know, I had class at my home over the weekend and we finished up yesterday. And part of the class was learning to appreciate the sacredness of everything around us.
Absolutely.
As we worked with the Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very refreshing for me to be able to do that and to be one with the Brotherhood and with everyone in the class. I mean, there was this real connection between me mm-hmm. and the teacher and the other students. And so today, as I activated my own personal sacred space, you know, I'm incorporating within myself to appreciate as I enter into that space, respect and honoring.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
there's no more separation between the mundane or the 3D world. The more you live in the greater reality, you still do a lot of the same things, but you do them in such a different way.
Yeah.
I mean, some people, like, you have to go clean a cat box or clean up something, you know, and you go, oh, you clean the cat box. But it doesn't matter. It's just like, sure, why not? It's all the same. You know? Just put your full being, put your whole heart in it. It doesn't make any difference. You just do what's needed. And that's the true mastery of service, is you do what's needed when it's needed, not later, not when it's convenient to you. You do it in the moment, and there's great freedom in that. I mean, in duality, we were taught almost everything backwards. Mm-hmm. You know, we were taught that it was unsafe to be who we really are, that we had to keep ourselves small, that was safe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's actually very unsafe, is to be small. That's what's scary. You know, so we were taught that backwards. We were taught that we were all separate. Of course, we're not. You know, we were taught about the separation of spirit and matter. That separation doesn't exist.
Yes, the cause and the effects when you...
Mm-hmm. And even karma doesn't exist when you get in the greater reality.
I know. I know.
So the 11-11 is a huge wake-up call, but it leads to... It's just a whole way of life. And it's just shifting... So you put your full being into every moment. And why not? Because the only person you're cheating, the person you're cheating the most is yourself if you don't.
Yes, because I had a conversation with one of the students from the class, and those were my exact words to him is, you know, you really cheated yourself out of being able to really appreciate the fullness of the experience you were having.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, it was for me, and I did say this, I said, you know, it hurt me to see you do that to yourself. And I said, you know, so maybe work with that, because he's going to be taking other classes that I'm aware of. And so, and I watched that. And for myself, I'm really starting to see things in different eyes now.
Mm-hmm.
And more with love radiating from my eyes, even if I
mm-hmm.
was looking at an object, I'm learning to really appreciate through love for the object that's sitting
mm-hmm.
in front of me. And that's
mm-hmm.
refreshing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So... I'd like to talk about, because there's actually 11 gates, is that correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I know that you just got through doing the eighth activation.
The first eighth gate, there's two. So this is the first of two.
Oh, that is correct.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the next activation?
A tiny bit. The second eighth gate activation will be at the end of 2008. My feeling at this point is that the Master Cylinder is going to be in South America.
Okay.
The keynote for the one we just had was entering the Lotus World. Awakening the Lotus Heart, entering the Lotus World. The lotus heart is the next level of our emotional body. We started out with our individual heart chakras, you know, and activated those and cleaned them up and got them going.
Okay.
And but even that wasn't enough because we were still perceiving ourselves as separate. And what's really sort of tragic is our biggest expression of love that we have, unfortunately, at the present moment, is I love you, right?
Yes.
And what that actually is a statement of separation. I, separate being, love you, separate from me. You know, and the Rastafarians have it a little closer. They say I and I for we, meaning like one and one, that we're all one. But, you know, I love you is a statement of separation, and it's our big, wonderful statement of love. So we obviously need something new. And when we first started awakening the one, activating the one being in 1997, well, actually, long before that, after the first 1111 activation in 1992, so much love came in that it was frying people's heart chakras. And we realized there's got to be a stronger emotional body to deal with this new, vaster, expanded love. And so there was something called the activation of the one heart, the heart, one heart being the heart of the one, or the heart of the one being. And basically, we all share the same heart. And it's no more I love you. And if you were standing in a circle of people and you were trying to love each one at the same time with your individual heart chakras, it's really
right.
Awkward. You're going, I love you, I love you, I love you, you know, like trying to hit everybody. But if you're in the one heart, you're all sharing one huge heart. And so you automatically, of course, are loving and being loved by everyone. But the eighth gate marked a level beyond that in the emotional body called the lotus heart. And that's where that merger of the serving the one and our most intimate personal yearnings and desires merged together. And so that was the keynote of the first eighth gate. The second eighth gate has to do with its true love to the core and living lotus love. And I think for a lot of us, between now and the second eighth gate activation, for the ones who don't have them and who want them and who are ready for them, many of us are going to be reuniting with our one true love.
Ooh, I know. And
it's about, it's almost time, but it was time before, because those things aren't things that happen to duality-based, fragmentary beings. That level of love is between whole beings that are part of a greater one. So we're getting to that point now, and we're just, this year is, as I said, it's like getting rid of all the elements in our lives that have expired, repatterning the past, letting go of everything or changing it, letting go or transforming elements in our lives that aren't true, they don't resonate, they're not true and real. They don't resonate with who we really are. Everything that's false or compromise or any elements of manipulation or, you know, any of that, self-sabotage, there's so many, you know, the list goes on and on. It's really cleaning that up.
Oh, gosh, I became the master of that one.
A lot of people are.
Oh, my God.
And then getting ourselves by the end of the year, hopefully, into that state of right time, right place, where everything just clicks in. And it's because of the work we're doing this year that we'll get to that place. And then next year is when the unfoldment or the fulfillment of our wildest dreams can take place. And that includes the one true love partners. And I'm not saying it wouldn't happen this year. I know it's happened for some people. But on a larger scale, next year is the year. It depends on, you know, we have to do those other things first.
You know, I must say this. Well, a couple of things I would like to share with you at the moment is getting back to, you know, standing in the circle with a group of individuals and, you know, attempting to say, I love you,
mm-hmm.
one by one. And what I've been learning lately is to say the word we, as a collective consciousness.
Well, we love us, you could say.
Yes.
But then that leaves out, see, the one heart is really good. It was a step beyond the individual heart chakras, but it left out the personal. So we love us has the collective, it has the one being aspect of it, but it doesn't have the aspect, we sort of set aside the personal.
How about
and before we were only in the personal, and then we go into the one heart, which is the collective whole, but then the lotus heart, the personal reinserts itself and merges together with the collective. And so that's what makes it such a huge, powerful gate. Really important.
You know, I want to.
Well, this is all going to be in my new book, in the new 1111 book, and also the new Starborn one. And hopefully they'll be out in June. I mean, I'm working every moment I have on them. And, I mean, they're five, my other, the old editions of them did really well. And, I mean, lots of people liked them and everything, but they're just terrible compared to, the new ones are just so brilliant. And they're so clear, and there's so much new information in them. And it just puts it very, very clearly for people. And anyway, when they're ready, it will be on the front page of my website. I'll be so excited. There'll be some huge notice. So.
Well, Solara, let me know, because I will also let the listeners know as well.
Mm.
Because, you know, one of the things that I've always, my heart felt was important is to always share very powerful knowledge and wisdom with the listeners. And, of course, you know, the show does that through individuals as yourself. And so if you'll let me know, I'll be more than happy to let the listeners know, because I know they're going to want to jump on it.
Oh, yeah. No, they're really going to be good. They're really good guidebooks for what we've been going through and what's ahead, as much as you can map what's ahead. I mean, the Doorway of the 1111, you know, one of our tasks going through it is we're clearing the path for others into the greater reality, but we're making visible the invisible, what was previously invisible.
I love that, by the way.
And so it's like people go, what's going to happen next? What's 10th gate going to be like? And you go, come on, you know, let's go through 8th first. You know, we're still right in that. I don't know, you know, and I'm not given to know or see until it's time for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like if we spend our time thinking, oh, if we're going to our new lives, if we're thinking, oh, and I wonder what color, where I'm going to live and what color I'm going to paint the walls of my new house, we're never going to get there.
Yeah.
What we need to do right now is roll up our sleeves, start cleaning out the closets, you know, repatterning everything. And it's really good to shift the energies around in the house, too, like paint the rooms and move the furniture when you clear through stuff. And just, you know, if you've always had that painting over there, move it somewhere different.
Well, you know that...
you know, you'll see what it does.
The Brotherhood has, you know, I love the synchronicity of this, because a lot of things you're saying is confirming what I've known on my end that it was important for me to follow through with. So you will know what Leilani's going to be up to for the next couple of weeks. It's really purging, because... personally, for myself, I'm very excited of the new beginnings. I'm really ready. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like cleaning
mm-hmm.
the house. You know, after you go and do spring cleaning,
it's invigorating.
Feels.
Every time you get rid of a place of stuck energy, fresh energy comes in that couldn't come in until that place of that pocket of stuck energy was removed. And so it, you know... it's really exciting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to be making a whole lot of people happy.
But I have to warn you, it's not something you can do in 2 weeks. It's going to take the rest of the year. It's because it's layer after layer. I mean, I'll go through my house and put a bunch of stuff in the garage for yard sale, all the obvious things, and then I'll go through again a few weeks later or a month later, and a whole other layer is ready to be released. And we also have to comb our inner beings and do this.
Yes. That
like, look at every belief, every spiritual practice, you know, and these are things, not that they're bad at all. They really served us. They really served to get us to where we are right now. They did the job. But they're not meant to go travel further with us.
That is correct, because the class that I actually took over the weekend, it was very brand new to me, and I actually had to spend some time sitting with the instructor and saying, okay, you know, please help walk me through this, because I realized that it was my old belief system of the things
mm-hmm.
that I knew. This class was asking for me to let go of those beliefs
mm-hmm.
and stepping into a whole new way of doing things. And so
yep.
there were a couple of areas that I had to work through with the teacher, and she did it so beautifully in helping me to let go of that, and I was able to move forward with the class. And I'm so glad I did, because I'm going, wow, this is, you know, the information that I've learned is going to be very powerful for me. And has
yeah.
been.
It's like clearing out log jams in a river, you know, that once you take them out, then the water just comes with a gush. And it's just such fresh, strong, true energy. And we just need to clear out every level of our life and focus on what's really real, you know, and just let go of what really doesn't matter. Stop living under any illusion. I have on my website, I have something called the Surf Reports, which talk about how to surf the 1111 energies. And they're it's like an internet newsletter. They're available by subscription on my website. But I really recommend them. There's a basic one that's $5 a month, and then there's another, the full one, which is $11 a month, and you also get weekly updates.
Okay.
And people, I mean, I've gotten so many emails from people saying, you know, how do you know? This is like you're looking in the window of my life. This is exactly what's happening. I thought I was going crazy. Thank you. You know, and all of that. And it's really, oh, it's so helpful, because even the ones of us who are ultra aware, I mean, we get thrown, you know. There's such strong energies, and it's such a powerful transitional time right now. Another thing that's going to happen this year is a lot of the abusers of power are going to finally get unmasked. And that's already happening.
Yes,
you know, before
is.
They could just carry on, but now things are coming out into the light, and they're going to continue on doing like that, because we just have to, again, it's that focus on what's real and true. And the more of us that do this, the more duality dissolves. Because the only reason duality is still existing, since it's not real, is because we feed it in believing it. You know, every time you get drawn into they're good, you know, this is good or evil or any of that, you get drawn into any polarity or polarization, we're feeding duality.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we just have to weed it out of our beings. It's like in the 19, I think it was the 60s, during the Vietnam War, they had an old expression called, what if we gave a war and no one showed up? And it's
well,
like that. What if we stop feeding duality? It will go faster. If you, I was on a radio show last week too, and it was a very political one, and you know, a lot of action against different things and trying to stop the war in Iraq and everything. I said, look, if you want to end duality, there's no final battle of duality. You never can vanquish it. You'll win a battle, and then they'll win the next one, and then you'll win one, and it has you polarized. You're on the same level. If you want the real final battle of duality, is step out of it. Don't feed it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Don't buy into it.
Can you imagine
step
if
into the
all
one.
Our children in these areas just put down their weapons and said, I'm not doing this anymore, and come
exactly.
home?
Oh, I know,
God.
From every country, because every country, everywhere I've ever traveled, I've found the nicest people.
Me
you know,
too.
I mean, there's really good people everywhere.
Yes, there is.
And
I have firsthand experienced that. I mean, I have traveled by myself and, you know, basically, you know, got stranded in a situation or whatever during my travel. And it was just, you know, I met some of the most wonderful people that came forth to just to support me through, you know, until I was on my way again.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and of course, before I left, especially coming from Hawaii, you know, it's, oh my gosh, you got to be careful and keep everything close to your body and, you know, mm-hmm. don't trust anybody. I went through all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I found people very genuine.
Mm-hmm.
I really have. Of course, you have to use your discernment. But
yeah, and I'm not to say that there aren't horrible things happening on the planet. Of course there are. We're in the times of completion. Duality is completing itself. And so it's fighting for its life. And it's fighting for control and everything. But as long as more and more of us keep stepping into the one being, it can't win. It has to dissolve because we don't feed it anymore. It's not getting full nourishment, and that's why it's like running around, you know, trying to get our attention. Oh, watch this. Here's another crisis. Here's another one. And then as soon as we look away from what's real and true, and then they've got us. We're polarized again. It's like, oh, good, got you hooked back. So we just can't play that game anymore. We just have to say, you know, we're done. You know, we graduate. We don't live there anymore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And more people are doing that all over the world.
Because as you let go of the duality, then, you know, what I have noticed as I've been letting go, because I have, of, you know, people, situations, you know, whatever the circumstance is, you know, I've been one by one letting those things go.
Well, this is a time of massive letting go, isn't it?
Oh, yes. And I notice every so often that you know, either that person or that situation will want to slip back in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the difference now is that I'm very clear about it, and so I realize that I'm able to say no.
Yeah, see, that's the whole difference. And it's just, I just go, duality is, sorry, but duality is not an acceptable reality.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I'll use that. Yes, yes.
It's not acceptable to me.
Well, I do know throughout this show so far, I've received a lot of messages that have definitely applied in my own environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited. I will be getting up tomorrow morning and really
rolling up your sleeves. It's really an exciting time. And, I mean, I have this impossible workload on every level, from really mundane, stupid things and, you know, going through, last week I went through boxes of old paperwork that had been through about 5 moves with me. But it was just such thick energy, I never went through it. And I started going through it, and it wasn't bad. And I threw out, of course, 90% of it or 95% of it. And then I found a few things that were really helpful that were in there. So you can't just, like, toss out the whole box. You've actually got to comb through it. But it's another mantra, a good mantra for this time, is completing the old frees me for the new.
Wow.
And, you know, when those boxes were no longer in the corners of my office and they no longer existed, it's not like they were tossed out. They were gone through. The useful things were put in their proper place where I could actually access them and use them. And the unuseful things were put in the trash. I felt so liberated.
Yeah.
I mean, it felt like, you know, I mean, I felt like a day at the spa, and it wasn't. It was like, you know, several days of boxes of paperwork. So it's
preparing your soul for the next activation.
Absolutely. So this year is all about getting in our new positions, and it's not so much that I don't think most of us won't be there in a few months. If we're lucky, if we've done our work well, with our full being, we'll be there by the end of the year. And then next year is like really the new life can begin, and the beyond our wildest dreams part really begins. But this year, I mean, there'll still be a lot of the new coming in, but it's really about very consciously clearing out the old and repatterning it, and, as I said, taking what's still true and keeping it and putting it in its right position, and inside of ourselves, getting ourselves everything in its proper place.
Well, let me ask you this, Solara, if I may. Can you touch on the financial stability of, you know, all of us individually and collectively?
Well,
you've asked that question quite a bit.
Well, it's been very difficult for many of us financially, me included.
Yes.
I mean, I don't, especially with my books out, my best-selling books out of print for a few years. I've been living off of the surf reports, but this is about to change. And I feel there's a great deal of money coming in for all of us that start living true lives, you know, and we'll be able to live off of our creativity and do what we really came here to do. But it's like what I said about the one being, you know, like the elbow not having its purpose or whatever. Once you really get into that, then your purpose is discovered, or the next level of what you're meant to do here on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And once we get to that, which will start anytime, it's in progress now, but next year is when it should really be anchored. That's when we get, I mean, I see lots of money coming for the ones who are true. If you're doing what you really came here to do, you're going to be totally supported. And I've never felt that before. And I really feel it. I mean, I feel it. It's not even trust. It's just knowing.
Just knowing.
I really feel that strongly.
And that's starting to...
But there's, you know, the big ifs. Like if you're living compromise, you know, if you're, oh, well, I'd really like to do this, but I don't know if people are ready, which means I don't know if I'm ready. You know, oh, so I'll water it down and I'll do this. It's not going to be successful. But if you really jump in and say, this is who I am and what I came here to do, and I'm putting my full being in it and my full love and everything, it's going to be wildly successful. This is what the Beyond Your Wildest Dreams is.
Isn't it important as well is the things that you choose to create as well is with in mind service to humanity?
It is. Well, everything I do is, but it's also, but we tend to either be in service to humanity or in service to ourselves. I mean, humanity seems to be divided. There's those who are obviously in service to themselves, and there are those who are obviously in service to humanity.
Yeah.
And there's some that are under the guise that they're in service to humanity, but they're really under service to themselves, you know, like the fake gurus and all of that stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So we have all those different aspects of it. But the true, it's now that merger. It's like serving humanity, but also serving yourself. We don't have to choose anymore. I mean, there have always been people that were great servers, but then, you know, they didn't have a life.
Yeah.
You know, they ignored their own needs. Humanity tirelessly. You might know that one. And I certainly know that one. And the time for that is expiring. That's an old pattern.
Yeah.
And so now we're going to be serving humanity with our full being, but also fully serving ourselves or being served, like living out our personal, as I said, our deepest yearnings and heart's desires at the same time that we serve the one.
To serve the one, yeah.
So it's a whole new level coming in. I mean, it's we've been sort of dancing all around the outside of it, but we haven't totally jumped in before. And it's just because the time wasn't right before. But boy, is it right now.
I agree with that, and I can feel it.
Yeah, and that's one thing that makes this year so exciting. I mean, but we have to do the work. It's not like you don't sit back. There's no time for being passive anymore. There's no time for just basking in the love, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to roll up the sleeves, do whatever is in front of you that needs doing, and always ask yourself, what is the, you know, how can I serve the one at the same time, you know, and also ask yourself, what do I really want?
Oh, that's what I'm working on in it's that area right now.
That's eighth gate. That's why the eighth gate is so long between the two activations, almost 2 years, and that's why there's two of them.
I'm asking myself two questions. What is it that I desire, and what and how do I want to be?
Mm-hmm.
How do I choose to be?
Yep.
And they're two different issues.
Well, they're very different, but they're interrelated, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
Oh, and I also have, I've been working since 2005 also on a whole new deck of Oracle cards.
Oh,
but these aren't like, these aren't like any of the existing Oracle cards that I've ever seen. These are based on the greater reality.
I and saw that, and I would love
brilliant.
To see
brilliant. Everyone I've tried my little prototype deck on says these are that they're the most brilliant deck. They've, and it has a 150-page or longer book that goes with it.
Yes.
And it's probably about 80% finished. It will. I have to get the books out first, and then I'm probably going to sell my house here and move to some other country, and that will give me the money to print the cards. So as soon as I can, I'm going to get everything out. So there'll be a flurry of new stuff or recalibrated stuff coming out for me in the next 6 months.
Well, this is important for me to say to you, Solara, because I really get and understand the depth of what you do. And it's very refreshing to me that you, I understand as well what you've had to do the things you've done.
Oh.
Continue doing for our
I mean,
planet.
I mean, I finally took my phone number off the website because, I mean, just a few weeks ago, after all these years, I can't tell you how many times a week people call me at 6 in the morning or they call at 1 in the morning. Oh, we didn't realize it was in Hawaii. No, I say in Hawaii. I mean, I've been, you know, woken up day and night for, I've been doing this for 20 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's, I work at 1 in the morning, I work at 3 in the morning, I get up at 5 in the morning and work again. I mean, the level of work that this takes is massive. But it does show that at least the early, I mean, all these years leading up till now where it's changing now, and now some people are coming in to help with it, not just help me, but to stand in the core with me, in the central core of the one being. But it shows that any one of us, one person can make a huge difference on this planet. And you might be unsung, and you know, a lot of people have never heard of me, and some people have. And none of that matters. This is without publicity. Just by doing what you feel is true, we can all make a tremendous difference. Every single one of us.
Because you did everything through your heart and the love of humanity.
Yep. Well, there's no other way to do it. Otherwise, you'd have to be crazy
to work that hard. Well, and we have those that run around on this planet, and I mean no disrespect whatsoever. And, you know, I honor their path as well. But, you know, I'm real clear, and I see that happening quite a bit. And I noticed that there has been a massive running around in that particular realm all over the planet, I would say, what, in the past year and a half, there's been quite a bit of that. So, and it's always refreshing to me to find those that are true to form.
Yeah, well, you have to live it. You know, you can't just talk about it. You have to live it.
Yes.
And
I
I'm
really
not saying it's not hard work. It is. But
yes, it
what
is.
Else is there to do, really?
Yeah.
With our lives, we're, you know, we're here, we're in the time of completion. Every one of us is needed. It's like we're traveling, you know, in Hawaii, those beautiful long canoes they have, and you've got to row in unison as one being. And it's the time, another thing that's happening is the people that aren't rowing or only sporadically rowing, they're finding themselves getting dumped out of the boat. You know, it's like now we've got to row with our full beings.
Well, you know, it's interesting because that's what I did when I was home is I actually paddled on the senior crew. Loved it. I just absolutely love it, and I still
that's
have
very one being stuff.
Yeah. And I've got all the, you know, I still have all my medals, and those were very fond memories of mine. And you know, your body had to be really in sync.
And not just your body, your whole being has to be in sync. Well, your body has to be in sync for you, and then your whole being has to be in sync with everybody else on your canoe.
Yes.
You know, so it moves, then the canoe moves through so smoothly through the water because everyone is moving as one.
That is
correct. And that's, our one being is the sleeping giant, and it's time to wake it up.
And, of course, my responsibility was to keep the rhythm of the entire boat and the crew as we glided through the ocean. And when I come home, you know, I always make a point of going and seeing the canoes and watching them practicing and so forth. And it's actually a beautiful, it's almost like they're dancing.
Well, it's something that really we all need to be doing every minute of our lives.
Yeah.
You know, not just when we're in a physical canoe, but to see that every moment we're going through, we're creating a new path through the water, and we're rowing as one.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah. And
well,
you know what it feels like from the physical canoe. So just see yourself every day, whatever you're doing, wherever you are, you know, whether you're in the supermarket, it doesn't matter, you know, in the bank or wherever, you're just rowing with our one being. We're all rowing into the new, into the one, into the greater reality.
Ooh,
and we're rowing all of humanity with us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's why I'm grateful for the opportunity to be on the radio and to connect with the listeners and to, you know, I find it exciting for me to seek out, you know, the guests to come onto the show to share a part of themselves and the work that they do with the listeners. And
it's a really important work you do, and I thank you, you know. It's really important.
Yes, and I always honor the other show host as well, you know, whatever radio station that they are broadcasting from, because, you know, the dedication and the work that goes into even just an hour show and for the owners of the radio stations. And, you know, I see Don, you know, bless his heart, he's made so many changes with the station. But it's amazing to me his love and dedication to people from all over the world to allow us to come forth to share that information with them. Bridging the gap.
Mm-hmm. And rowing as one with our full being and our full wide open hearts.
Yes. But I wanted to also touch on the master numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I was curious how they played into the activations of the 1111. I mean, I've got the understanding of the 1111, but is the other master numbers playing into this as well?
Oh, yeah. The master numbers are like giant steps, you know? They're like the, if you, at Machu Picchu in Peru, they have the terracing, you know, of the buildings of the temples there. And then they have a flight of steps, of stone steps, that goes up the side of the terracing. And the flight of steps is for humans, you know, and you walk up them, and they're steep and everything. But if you look at it from a distance, you see the terracing, the step terracing, and those are the big steps for larger, vaster beings. And it's like that with the master numbers. Like the numbers 1 through 9 have to do with the duality. They're the duality-based numbers. 9, of course, is completion. And then when you get to 11, it's not just new beginning, or 10 is new beginning, and you could go 11, 12, 13, but you're still going in slow increments. You're going up those little steps. But if you get to 10, the new beginning, and you jump on the bigger steps, which is what the 1111 does, being the bridge between duality and oneness, it allows you, it creates that bridge to jump on the bigger steps, and then you go 11, 22, 33, 44, and you're taking giant steps, and you're whole on a very different evolutionary timetable, a very much more accelerated evolutionary timetable. And also every date of every gate activation always is a master number.
True.
You know, somewhere on, I think this last one was on a 22. The date added up to 22. You know,
okay.
So, you know, never know, but they're always on a master number day.
Okay. So it's not necessarily the actual day, it's all the numbers added together that would.
Well, it's the month, day, year.
Okay. Aha. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the first one on January 11th, 1982, actually came out with a 1-1, 1-1-9-9-2, which had a lot of, which came out, I don't know, it was like a lot of 11s.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
No, the master numbers, I mean, each one has a different meaning. And I think the new version of 1111, I have some information about that on my website. And there's more information in the new 1111 book because each one has a specific resonance. But it's really, the more we live with the master numbers and deal with those, like 11, of course, is the number of bringing in the new. It's like a lightning bolt of the new. 22 is building on the new. 33 has to do with the one being, so forth. And each one, I mean, this is very simplified, but each one has different things. So I did write a lot about that in the book. So how are we doing with time?
We're getting close. We've got about 20 more minutes.
Okay. So oh, because we started late.
Yeah. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just.
One of the questions that I wanted to ask you as well is the connection between the 1111 and the ascension, if you could share that with us.
Oh, you're coming up with the good questions now, the hard ones. The ascension happens within duality. It's connected with the spirituality of duality.
Okay.
And the 1111 isn't really an ascension. It's more a graduation from duality. And you can ascend within duality. And again, in the new 1111 books, I talk about that. And there's maps of, like, the great central sun system that we were connected with while we went through duality. We're actually moving to a greater central sun system. And so the ascension that was done up till now was within the great central sun system. But as we move into a greater central sun system, it's a whole different thing. So I don't even use the word ascension anymore. That's one of the things I've been weeding out of my book, The Starborn, and sort of recalibrating.
So let me just kind of bring that all together. So what you're really saying is what that really means for all of us here on the planet is that we're moving out of the duality into that oneness.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what everybody's referring to as the ascension.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're referring it to, but it's we don't really. I mean, it's not really. There's no the whole concept of up and down. I mean, that was another thing I had to weed out. Is like references to higher self or higher realms or higher, lower, rising to things, because that whole space and time are duality-based concepts. And the more we move into the more we live in the inhabit the greater reality in the here and now, in the present moment, then you find that you get unpinned from time and space.
Uh-huh.
And so for me, the way it's manifested is I find that I need way less sleep. I don't care what time it is. I'll get up at 3 in the morning and start working. Or I'll go sleep in the middle of the day. If I'm hungry at 5 in the morning, I'll eat. You know, I don't like, oh, it's morning, I have to have breakfast. Now it's lunch, I have to have lunch. I'm not pinned in that sense anymore.
I'm doing
the same. Distance, physical distance, we haven't quite gotten to the point where you don't have to take long airplane trips to get somewhere. Excuse me, but we have gotten to the point where people that we're aligned with, even though maybe we haven't even talked to them for years and they live on the far side of the world, it's like they're right here with us. So we've dissolved that much of the concept of distance.
Okay. I get it.
Yeah. And it's just because moving to a really larger map. And unfortunately, as we move to this larger map, you're not presented at the entrance with, oh, here's your new map. We're creating the map as we explore, as we go into the unknown or into the invisible.
Yes.
Then we see more and more and more. And that's what I do in the surf reports, is like talking about where we are and what's happening. And the lotus world that the eighth gate started bringing in is a whole, we could describe it as like a sector of the invisible that a few years ago we didn't really know it existed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a whole different level of love, like a much deeper, truer core love than we even knew was possible.
Yes. And, you know,
so it's, unfortunately, it would be a lot easier if we, you know, we're presented with nice, already put together maps of this whole thing, but we're not, because we're the explorers.
Yes, and we're creating as each day.
Yeah, we're creating the maps as we go along. We're clearing the path for everyone else.
Well, one other thing that I really wanted to make sure that we touched on as well is understanding which are the true 1111 activations.
Oh, that's a good one. Thank you. I'm really glad you asked that. Well, you know how it is, unfortunately. If something has a lot of energy, then a lot of people try to jump on it. And, I mean, for the first 1111 activation, which over 200,000 people participated all over the world, there were people that were tour companies and everything that were putting out information, when they knew I was going to Egypt, come to the 1111 activation in Egypt, and people would call and they'd say, oh, is this part of with Solara? And they'd go, oh, yes, we're hoping to have her there. And it was had nothing to do with what we were doing. So there's always people to hop on energy for various reasons and try to take it over, or, you know, I've seen articles that I wrote or things from my website or things from my books with other people's names on it, you know, appear in different things, and then they've changed some of the information. So you get a lot of distortion, which is too bad. And every year on November 11th, this has happened since the first one was activated since 1992. Because it's November 11th, everybody goes, oh, 11-11. And every year there's at least one. Now there were like five or six or whatever last time. People put on 11-11 activations. And, I mean, people go, I got one email and it's like the person putting one on, and I won't say where, maybe, unless you want me to, but... And you could tell they were a good-hearted person. They said, well, we don't really know what 11-11 means, but since it's November 11th, we're having a big celebration. You know, if you want to, not if I want to come, but if you want to write something for us about it. And, I mean, the only thing I would have written is this isn't real. So it's people with good intentions sort of jumping onto the bandwagon but missing the whole thing. And all it does is create a lot of confusion. Then you have a real 11-11 activation, like Eighth Gate, that's really opening huge doorways for everybody and bringing in energy that wasn't here before and is really vitally important. And, you know, people go, oh, I did something November 11th, and they totally miss it. So, again, use your discernment. And
you know, I will, you know, I get, you know, a lot of emails, and I get, you know...
Oh, yeah.
you know, the 11-11 activation for November the 11th, right?
Yeah. And I'd pretty much say if it's on November 11th, it's not real until 2011, and that will be real. Because that's the date of the last one, the closing of the 11-11 doorway. But until then, just because it's November 11th, I would...
yeah, and that's where you helped bring some clarity as well, is when we touched on the master numbers. Because, you know, that was a component that I wasn't aware of, you know. I mean, of course I was aware of numbers adding, a date adding up to the number 11.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't take it one step further, going, oh, wait a minute, you know, this
mm-hmm.
is... like we had discussed earlier. So
mm-hmm.
I really wanted to bring that information out there, because I don't know about you, Solara, and I mean no disrespect by saying this. You know, when I decided to become a radio host, I was very clear that I truly desire to bring the highest information for to all the listeners. That was a very important element for me. Does it mean that I always share, you know, was able to achieve that? Probably not. But, you know, I take the time out to really go. You know, like I spent time on your
website. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and I went and explored. And so I did research. And one of the things the listeners know of this show is that I do take those steps. Because
yeah.
there's so much.
No, that's obvious that you do.
And it's scary because people are being misled in so many.
And this is critical. This is critical for the whole future direction of the whole planet, you know?
Yeah.
And so when people just mindlessly jump on the bandwagon, it makes me really sad. I mean, it makes me upset and it makes me sad. And, I mean, this has been my life's work. And as I say, I've devoted 20 years. And I mean, I'm not talking about office hours 5 days a week. I'm talking about 24/7, you know, and given up a lot of a personal life to do this. And it's not for the money because I barely get along, you know. So it's not for that. It's because I know it to be true. And we all have truth filters within us. Like, just we were born with them. Luckily, mine were really well developed when I was even young. And I always run everything through my truth filters. And if something comes and it's a deeper truth, I can be in the middle of an argument, really defending my position, and something comes that's truer, and I just stop in mid-sentence and go, you're absolutely right, and I'll make the adjustment.
I get
and,
that.
Oh, that's so important, and we have to, all of us, run these things through our truth filters. There was also the 12-12, you know, and there was a lot of that after the 11-11, which was a huge thing, the first one, and then I got flyers in the mail saying, after the 11-11, the next step, the 12-12. And 12-12 isn't even a master number.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a duality thing, and the people did make a lot of money off of that one. You know, and it's really sad because it diverts. I mean, I guess it's people's own discernment lessons. I mean, when there was that other tour company that did the rival tour to Egypt from ours, you know, some of them were on the same plane with me coming back from Egypt, and the people go, oh, yes, I was part of the 11-11, too. We meditated in the Great Pyramid. And I said, well, that was nice. And in the sense of a larger mandala, a larger picture, yes, they were all part of it. And yes, maybe these sort of false 11-11 activations, in the sense of a really larger picture, they're all part of it. But let's be in the central core of it. Let's be in the truest position. Let's not feed the distortion. You know, let's not, when there's something this important, let's not row in another direction when, you know, we're trying to really get, with everything we've got, to get the canoes all to go straight, you know.
I sometimes wonder as well, you know, if there's, you know, you know, these are devices to keep us constantly in confused states of non-reality, of really getting in touch with truth.
Mm-hmm. Well, even if they are, we need to use our discernment and run everything through the truth filters and run it through your heart, you know, just your truest heart. And it will either resonate or not resonate. But none of us should put our energy anymore in half-baked truths or in, as I said, anything that's compromise or anything that's sort of partial something.
Yeah.
Like, only do what's true. Only do what's real. And just keep stripping away till you can see what's true and real.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I agree with you.
And it's, you don't ever reach the final place. It's, you know, I've done this for years, stripped and stripped and stripped to true and real. And I'm still stripping down to even truer and realer and more core. You know, you don't get to the end of this. But the more you go, the easier it is. Those peripheral things don't even, you know, they don't even catch your attention. And it's like all clutter, even activities clutter, you know. Chit-chatty clutter. We don't need that in our lives.
So would you also feel that, you know, for us to let go of being really busy with with lots of stuff going on as well. Is
I don't think we have a choice of that. I can't let go of that. But it depends what you're busy with.
Okay.
Our focus always has to be, I am so-and-so of the one, and paddling that canoe. So if you're paddling the canoe saying, oh, I think I'll jump in for a swim, or, oh, maybe I'll fish over here, or, oh, let's go look at that island, unless it's a real calling to go look at that island, those are the elements that you can clear out of your being. I mean, we're going to be ultra busy because we have a lot to achieve. I don't think we're going to get to the hammock stage maybe ever, unfortunately. But it's what are you busy with? You know, are your priorities real or are they false priorities? Mm-hmm. Are they duality-based priorities or are they true greater reality-based priorities?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to be super busy, but it's okay because we're paddling that canoe into the new. And that's what we came here to do.
Wow.
So that should make us really happy and with a big smile on our face, even though we might have big calluses on our hands. As long as we've got the big smile on our face, it's okay.
I know. It was
I'm so glad you're a paddler. That's really good.
Yeah, I did. As a matter of fact, it was really interesting because I started off with the freshman crew, and a week later they jumped me up to the senior crew, and you know, like I had said earlier, I kept the rhythm of the canoe,
mm-hmm.
and then they made me coach. I actually
mm-hmm.
worked my way to coach, and I actually coached the freshmen and the sophomores, and I was with a very good senior crew, and I paddled the Molokai Channel.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite something. Well, you know, I know you know the Polynesians all know that we came from the stars, and they know that we came here in canoes. So there's so many levels of navigation, and navigation continues on at this very moment. We're still navigating.
Yes, and we did extremely well all the years I competed. Most of my medals, we won first place. We really worked together very well. We had a real tight-knit group of women
mm-hmm.
and we stayed stable with the same women all those years that I did paddle. I paddled from Moana Kai at the Ala Moana.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was picked as one of the representatives. You know when they did the replica of the
Hakulea?
Oh, yes, thank
Hakulea.
You.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was picked as one of those individuals to escort the Hakulea when it came in. So I've been shown on the Discovery Channel as one of the escorts. You know, we
mm-hmm.
had our crew was picked, and we were in our canoes. And so when the Hakulea came in, our position was to be nose to nose with the Hakulea.
That's awesome. But just remember, Leilani, that's not something that happened then. That's part of your position in this life all the time.
I know.
With your radio show, with everything you do.
I know.
You know?
And you know what's even more interesting? I wanted to really share that because, you know, that of course.
No, that's amazing. But that's so true. I can see you doing that.
Yeah,
makes me really happy.
I did. It was one of the most profound moments for me is being picked as one of those individuals to have
mm-hmm.
the honor to escort them in.
Yeah.
And you know you remember the dog on the Hokulea?
Mm-hmm.
It was so cool because we were so close to the Hakulea that you could almost reach out and touch the dog.
Oh.
Yeah, it was just awesome.
Wow.
And it had the fireboat in front of the Hokulea as an escort as well because, you know, they shot the water up straight up into
mm-hmm.
the air. And then they had all the bands and the hula dancers and And, I mean, it was just huge.
Oh, no, that was a great moment. I mean, that was far more significant than even the return of the canoes.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that signified the return back to the one, too.
Yes.
No, it was
and
really...
I got picked, and, you know, I don't have to tell you how many crews and canoe clubs that are there in Hawaii, and I was one of those that got picked.
That's a huge honor.
I'm actually a real descendant of Queen Liliuokalani and Princess Kahilani and Kohio and Kamea.
Wow.
I actually care. That is indeed my bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
From the Hawaiian Islands. My great-grandmother's picture is up in the palace. Isn't that cool?
That's very cool, yeah.
I mean, it does nothing for me, but it's just nice to have that as part of my...
Yes, part of your lineage, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and I really miss home. It has been calling to me for the past couple of years. I do have a lot of family still there. As a matter of fact, Big Island, Kauai, Maui, Molokai, and Oahu. And so I understand that Oahu has grown quite substantially.
But there's still some beautiful parts there. I mean, there's still some quiet parts on Oahu.
You know, it's one of the things I miss the most is hiking up to the waterfalls and spending the entire day there.
Mm-hmm.
And jumping off the cliffs and into the...
But that's part of the weaving of your being. And that never goes, whether you're physically here or not. You know, those are part of the threads of your being that always stay with you.
Yeah.
You know, you could never come to Hawaii again, and those threads would be just as strong as if you'd spent your whole life here.
Yes. Yeah. And the ultimate that I miss, of all ultimates, is I truly, truly miss the true aloha.
Yeah. Well, there's still that split, you know, between mana and aloha. And they're really, when you go to the greater reality, the true mana, mana is power, of course.
Right.
True mana, the strongest, truest mana is aloha, which is love.
Yes.
But at some point down the line, they separated. And so you have warriors, you have some war, but, and then you have the aloha people with lots of love, but we all need to be with the true aloha, which is the true mana, which is aloha. We all need to be warriors of love. That's the only thing to be a warrior about anymore, is a warrior of love.
Yeah. And my great-grandmother was a kahuna, very well known in the island of Oahu. The church that she helped build still stands today. The Church of the Living God, it still stands. And a lot of my family still indeed goes to that, attends that particular church. And so when I had been married, I chose to marry in my grandmother's church and stuff. So I have a lot of roots on the islands, a lot of them and stuff. So I was just thrilled. Oh, yes. And if you notice, I use as my signature coming on to the show, I use aloha.
Mm-hmm.
That was very important to me to do that. And, of course, it brings in the God connection.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we are at the end of our show, and I just, many, many hugs and kisses to you.
Oh, and to you too, yeah.
Very grateful.
I've really enjoyed it. And I just thank you for the work you do.
And thank you for being who you are. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to come to your next activation.
Fantastic.
So I'll keep an eye. Well,
this one was the first one we actually turned away about 60 people because we filled up so fast.
Wow.
It was amazing. And that has never happened before, that we've had to turn. And even people that had been to previous ones were suddenly put on a waiting list, and they were so shocked because they just registered late. I mean, not late. like 2 weeks after we put it on. and they were like, what do you mean I'm on a waiting list? I've been to the last three. And we say, sorry. So, because more and more people are getting it now.
I guess I'll have to keep a...
Which is really good. So,
on your website.
Yeah.
Well,
you have to...
I want to say a true aloha to you. Aloha nui loa to you, Salam.
Oh.
And may you always continuously wrapped in God's energy and love to you.
Oh, thank you so much.
No.
And I send you utmost love from the heart of the lotus.
And I also thank you for all the messages that I received because I heard every one of them.
Yeah, and I can tell. Yeah. Okay, well, I look forward to talking to you again sometime.
And you as well. And please, I would love to extend another invitation to you. Please let me know when your books are on. They're available to everyone and your cards. I'm very interested in them as well, okay?
Oh, those are they're really good. They're really, really true and really strong. They're really helpful for people. So, and I just want to give love to everybody out there listening, and just really that there's no reasons not to just step in and be who you are with your full being. There's no reasons anymore. It's just the time now, and the water is fine, so leap in. So thank you, dear one. Cheers, Leilani. Okay.
You.
Good night.
Good night. On that note, I say to each and every one of you, remember to love thyself, love your families, and be safe and be well, for you are the great, mighty I Am presence, the power and the intelligence of you, your worlds, and activities. Good night to all.